Cowabunga, dudes. I am ready for the beach. How about you guys? I'm headed to Breaker Rock Beach tonight. Anybody want to go along? Are you kids? Yeah, you kids are coming, right? You're coming tonight. Coming to VBS? That's where we're going for VBS. Breaker Rock Beach. We've already got a couple people signed up online. I know there's going to be a couple more coming that we can see even right here. So bring some friends, bring some kids that you know from the neighborhood. Come on out tonight. Breaker Rock Beach coming out tonight. 6 o'clock we get started tonight, 6 to 8. If you saw over in the fellowship hall, you probably saw some of the decorations given the idea of a beach, a boardwalk and so forth. We got kayaks out there, so it's going to be a good time. They still got some more decorating they're going to do this afternoon, so it's going to be a good time. We're going to have fun, and we're going to have fun actually spending some time with children talking about the gospel of Jesus. So looking forward to that. Let me get back into my more traditional attire. I know there would be some who might be uncomfortable with me preaching it from just a t-shirt, so, and that kind of goes along with our sermon. So anyhow, it also feels, this is better than usual, having a collar shirt and all like that. But so anybody have any other announcements that you want to share with the group, with the family? Anything else we need to know about? I know we got things coming up, but they're in the bulletin. The baseball game coming up, and let's see, what else is in there? Yeah, we got our baseball game coming up. Of course, the softball games, keep an eye on that. And we had our first meeting. We got some things kind of logistically taken care of regarding our mission trip. Thank you very much to all of you for some of the donations that came in and so forth. So anything else? Any other announcements? If not, you probably already recognized that things were a little different to get started, and that's okay. We can, believe it or not, we can actually have a worship service without an organ. And so today we're going to do it that way. It won't be traditional, but we're still going to worship the Lord and still use our praise band that we rely on so much. So let's take a moment. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's prepare ourselves for worship. Well, good morning, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this opportunity for us to come together as believers, an opportunity for us to come together and to share with each other how you've been active in our lives. We're here because of that. We're here to worship you, not just because of what you did this past week, but what you did for us on that first resurrection day. And that whole weekend, we praise you for the way you love us, the way you take care of us, and we want to worship you here this morning. And so we pray that everything that we sing, say, and do would be to your honor and to your glory, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand as I read our call to worship this morning. I'm reading from Psalm 42. Where we read, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I hope you're here this morning because you're thirsty, not just because it's what you do. It's not just because of, well, the alarm went off, it's Sunday morning, so I got to go to church. No, I hope you're here because you're actually thirsting for God. This is my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? That's the wrong thing. I'm reading from the wrong. No? Okay. But then, yeah, and so while people, something is not right here. I'm sorry. This is not what I wanted to use as my, okay, well, Holy Spirit, take over. Here we go. So my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go? When can I go and meet with God? Well, we can meet with him anytime, but especially we come on Sunday mornings right here right now. It's when I can go and where I can go and meet with God, right here in the room.
Good morning, everyone. Please sing with us. There are moments nothing can replace, when heaven and earth meet face to face, when a broken heart begins to change, word takes on flesh and a soul finds faith. Where the unfulfilled are satisfied, and the unknown scars are reconciled, there's an open door, a brand new life, up close in the presence to the Savior. I just want to be in the room, want to be in the room when you move, and I'm not leaving, not leaving till you do. I just want to be in the room, want to be in the room when you move, and I'm not leaving, not leaving till you do. Want to see the blind receive their sight, the voiceless start to rise. Every child of God baptized with fire, right here in the presence of the healer. Yeah, I just want to be in the room, want to be in the room when you move, and I'm not leaving.
Tear off the roof, lower me down, whatever it
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Take a moment to greet your neighbor and let them know you're happy they're here.
What if I'm not?
That was a train wreck.
What's that?
I said that was a train wreck.
That sounded good.
Aside from there.
Good morning.
Well, you could have lost your guitar halfway through. That happened that one time where I was playing and my strap button, it came off. And I was holding it
otherwise.
Like
I was
this,
trying
to play.
Right. Well, let's take a few minutes to share what kind of praises we have. Praises, especially, I like to start with, but praises and prayer requests that you might have. Yes, back in the back.
If you notice that we have a working computer up here today, I want to give out a shout out to John McKelvey. We got a brand new computer, and John was here till 11 o'clock on Friday to make sure we had a screenshot for this morning. So big shout out to John for spending a lot of time getting things prepared for our service. So
thank you, John. Yeah, the last 2 weeks haven't gone all that well, so thank you for taking care of that. Any other praises? And we want to direct the praise to God, even given John the know-how and so forth, but we certainly thank John for his work. Yes, Amy.
From Zoom, Jim Rothline has two praises. First, that he is able to walk unassisted, so his knee is doing better.
Good.
And second, he was able to sell 5 books yesterday
at
the Middletown Festival, so he's very thankful for that. And then I also have a praise that for several people out there, that it was a big week for graduations, and so there are several people that had kindergarten graduations, fifth grade graduations, and high school graduations, and just praises for all the graduation thing that's happening.
So. Yes. A lot of kids with a lot of milestones. A lot of younger people with milestones. Yeah. Any other praises?
Well, speaking of younger kids having milestones, older kids have milestones too.
Yeah.
So I'm retired.
Yes.
And I'm so happy.
Congratulations.
The place where I was living was sold. And God does open doors because I found another place. It's perfect, and I moved, and I'm getting settled.
Okay,
so
great.
Praise God.
Great. Any other praises, or if we have prayer requests? I want to praise and give you an update. I mean, I'm here with the walker mostly because just as a safety precaution, but I was able to start using the cane a little bit. It went well on Friday. Saturday wasn't quite so good, but I'm getting there. The healing is, it's happening. It's just not like this. It's kind of like this, but it's getting there. So I do thank God for a wonderful day on Friday, really. And I was able to come back over to the office and spend some time. So I do plan on coming back this week. I will spend most of the week in the office unless there's a setback, God willing. So any other praises?
I just want to thank God. My mom has COVID, but they gave her Paxlovid, and she's doing very well. She's still testing positive, but she's doing very well.
Any prayer requests? Anything else that we want to share?
Pray that children will come tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were going to pray that anyway. Yeah.
That's okay.
Just that they'll hear about it, that God will make, he'll bring the right kids here who need to come, and that everybody who's working with the kids will have extra dose of patience and excitement, and that every child will feel loved and feel that they're welcome and that we're excited to see them, just that we will have that kind of enthusiasm and energy, because it doesn't always come naturally. And so I think that God can do that for us.
Amen. That's a prayer. Any others? Yes.
This coming week, Adam and John and a bunch of kids and adults from their scout troop are going on a work trip to Maine to help a boy with his Eagle Scout project work on a place up there. So just prayers for safe travels and good weather, and that they can accomplish all that they would like to, so that they have a successful and safe trip.
Another one? Okay. Debbie. That was a crazy. Okay.
So I have a coworker, good friend, known her for many years, Julie. She travels for like 45 minutes, an hour to work. She's going through problems with her marriage, but also she has MS and has for many years. And her last child she had is 4 years old, and he is autistic and cerebral palsy. So she's now living with her son temporarily till she can find a place to live, very little money. She's having to come at night when he's asleep to work late at night. So if you could just keep Julie in your prayers. And it turns out I am the same age her mom would be if she was still living. So I've tried to pour under my wings a little bit. So if you could just keep her in your prayers.
I have a prayer request. Oh, I have a praise and a prayer request. My sister, who lives in Maine, her name is Sandy, tripped over some uneven pavement while walking her dog last week and fell and had a fractured hip. The neighbors were so good and were there right away to help her, and she's had surgery and she's doing well, and it's hard to think that we have to pray for her, but we know God is in control, and he's what brought her through this, and she's able to keep her spirits up and tell jokes about everything that happened. So it's a praise and a prayer request.
I want to add the couple. You've heard me, some of you have heard me talk about the couple that I've been trying to help. That are here in town living in a motel, Rick and Patty. I'm not able to help them as much right now because I'm not as mobile. But I realize, you know, I've been trying to help them, and of course I pray on my own, but I don't know if I've ever brought them to the Lord in this way. So I want to pray for them, because I feel like they need more help than just me. So that's Rick and Patty. Any others? Instinctively, I look back, see if they have any requests. They're enjoying their day. Okay, well, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for this new day. We thank you for the gift of a day to worship you and to serve you. And we thank you for all the blessings you've provided so far, things that we just took for granted, the breath, the air that we were breathing, the lungs that allowed us to take in that air, the muscles that allowed us to walk here, and just all these things that you're in control of that we don't even think about. We thank you. We thank you. We praise you for all these milestones that we talked about. We thank you for successes and at events that we've been a part of. We just thank you for the way that you are so involved in our lives. We're excited about tonight and how we're looking forward to having so many children here that we can share your good news with, that we can share the gospel of Jesus and make it fun while we're doing it. We thank you for all the people who have put a lot of effort into preparing the decorations, preparing lessons, and just preparing themselves to be your stewards, to be your servants to these children. We just pray that it will be a blessing to them, and that you will bless it. Bless this time, these next 5 days, next 5 evenings. We ask for your protection as people travel. We think of Adam and John and all these scouts that are going to Maine. We ask you to watch over them. Give them the strength they need to complete this scout project. We thank you for the healing, but we pray for continued healing in Vicky's mom, and just that you would remove that COVID from her and make her feel better, just to enjoy her days as she's been able. We pray for Julie and the problems that she's going through, but also the joys of her son. But we just pray that you will help her find a place, find some stability for herself and for the family, for her child that she takes care of. We pray for the healing of Judy. We thank you for the surgery. We pray for recovery. We thank you for neighbors who are there and ready to help. We thank you for the way that you put these people in our lives so that they can bless us and so that we may be a blessing to them. I pray for Rick and Patty, this couple that I've been trying to help, and they just get through each day. It's kind of each day is the same over and over for them. They're so eager to find a place where they could call their own. And I just pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts, that you would work in our hearts. Help us, use us to be your hands and your feet, and open their hearts to hear your word and your guidance. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you are so evident and so active in our daily lives. We thank you for the way you provide for us with an income, and we've given a portion back as our offering this morning, and we just pray that you will accept it and that you will bless it, and we just pray that your will be done with it. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. As has been mentioned, the order of worship is a little different today than usual. The organist and orchestra are getting a well-deserved vacation. I thought it would be a good time to resume something that we used to do, which is ministry of music. We used to have the choir a lot of the weeks, but we didn't. We had singers and musicians. I think we've had interpretive dance. I mean, it could be a little outside the box as long as it's worshipful. So there's a bulletin announcement in here. If anybody knows anybody who sings, plays an instrument, does something that would be appropriate for corporate worship service, I'd like to do this about once a month, rotating with different people doing the ministry of music. And so I'm going to do the first one today. It's Near My God to Thee. And yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I forgot to dismiss the children. If children from age 5 to 5th grade, you're welcome to be dismissed now to Children's Church. Yes. Thank you, Daniel. And thank you, God, for giving him so much talent. Well, this morning I'm going to ask you to kind of go back a few years and remember. There was a time here, I remember, where there used to be something we had in effect called the Paul Timothy Program. I think you've referred to it that way. And it was named that way because it was meant to be a mentor, a mature Christian who would take in a younger person, a young Christian, and help them to work through their faith and to help them grow in their faith, and that that relationship that those two had were kind of based on the whole idea of someone in the Bible that we're going to meet today. We'll be talking about Paul, but this relationship that he has with a young man named Timothy, and we're going to be introduced to him this morning. I'd love to get that going again, even if we tweak it, even if it's not exactly the way it was. But just the idea of mentorship is a wonderful thing. Just having someone that's a mature Christian taking in a new Christian, even if we're not even talking about a young person necessarily, but just a young Christian, and helping them to walk and to grow and to disciple them, to help them to learn more about God and more about how God wants them to live, and how we can take that and apply it to a world that doesn't want us to live in a godly way. And young Christians need that kind of strength, that kind of help. So something on the radar. Let's see if we can figure out a way to get that going again. But we're going to take a look at the story this morning that is the beginning of that relationship that this Paul Timothy program is named after. Just as a reminder, just to kind of take us back where we were, we've got Paul and Barnabas who were sitting around one day, and Paul said, "Hey, let's go back to these churches that we went to." Barnabas says, "That's a great idea. Let's take Mark along, John Mark along." Paul said, "No, I don't think so. He bailed on us the first time. We know there was a sharp disagreement, and they went separate ways." But we don't need to look at it as a terribly a terrible separation out of anger. We can look at the way that God was involved in this situation and how he directed these two, that instead of going together back to churches that already knew him, how he is now finding a way to separate and grow more churches in different areas, and an opportunity for Barnabas to take John Mark and mentor him and disciple him as they go to Cyprus. But then, of course, too, Paul takes Silas and starts off, and we see him meet this young man named Timothy this morning. So we'll start in Acts chapter 16, and we're starting right off with the first verse. We read that Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, and I'll just pause there. Don't forget, Lystra was the town where Paul and Barnabas went in and healed a lame man, and everybody wanted to worship them. They wanted to call them gods. They were Zeus and Hermes, and people were worshiping them. And Paul said, "No, no, no, I'm just a man. I am not a god." And then on top of that, some of the Jews had come into town and had said, "Well, they're also not speaking the right kind of stuff. They're teaching you the wrong things." Brought the people up, and they actually took Paul out to the edge of town and stoned him and left him for dead. That's Lystra. He's going back there again with Silas now. So they come to Derbe, they get then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. So this is another interesting part. A disciple would mean that Timothy is a follower of Jesus. And we don't know whether he heard Paul that first time Paul was there, but if you remember that story that we heard, all we heard about was the healing of the lame man and then the stoning of Paul. Obviously, there had to have been some preaching, some message, some evangelizing anyway, that Paul was doing in Lystra, because at this point now, there's a disciple named Timothy. Now, did he hear it directly from Paul? Or maybe he heard it from his mom, because the next part of the verse says, His mother was Jewish and a believer. So maybe she was there, heard Paul preaching, and just raised this boy up to being a young man, and he then believed as well and became a disciple. But his mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. And so the implication is that his father was not a believer. So he's in this situation. Mom's a strong believer. Dad is not. He's a Greek and a non-believer. Verse 2 tells us that the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And they're talking about Timothy. So Timothy not only is a believer, but he apparently is an active believer. So much so that not only in his own town, but in the next town over, Iconium, people are talking well about him as well. He has a great reputation in both of those towns. And so it says, then Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Well, he sees this young man, he sees this believer who has a great reputation. People speak well of him. He's got an opportunity to take a young man with him and to disciple him. And we'll find out about his motivation and so forth coming up. But can you imagine Timothy's reaction? And I take a lot of artistic license here, but as I read into the story, I think about Timothy and what his reaction might have been. The fact that Paul is asking Timothy to go along, and Timothy's saying, wow, you want me? You know, I mean, I get to go along with Paul. I've heard about this guy. Or maybe he was old enough the first time through that, you know, I've met this guy. I know about this guy. It would kind of be like several years ago, Franklin Graham was making a tour through the U.S. He was going to all the state capitals, and he had a prayer meeting at each capital. And I know that Vicki and I took a bus of people from the church we were in, and we went down. It was a prayer meeting, you know, prayer for the state and for just an opportunity to pray in each state. But in Harrisburg, you know, we went down, and let's say you guys, I don't know if any of you went to that at that time or not, but let's say all of us, we end up down there in Harrisburg, and we're there for his praying, and he comes to one of you and says, I'd like you to go along with me. Now, I don't know if Franklin Graham has rock star status with you, but I think there's a couple of you who would probably be pretty excited about it. And if there were no concerns about family or job, you'd probably be kind of excited about joining him and traveling with him and getting to hear him and how he prays with all the different people. And would probably feel like it would be a great opportunity to learn, to be discipled by Franklin Graham. And I'm guessing that Timothy was just as excited about joining Paul. He sees this as a great opportunity. Paul was, you know, let's just think of Paul as the Franklin Graham of his day. And so Timothy's probably excited. Wow, Paul wants me to go along with him. And there's a comma. So he circumcised him. Well, there's always a catch, isn't there? He circumcised him. As excited as Timothy was about joining Paul, I bet he's not too excited about what Paul's asking him to do now. So I'm betting that he at least asked Paul why this had to be done. You know, and this is probably where it got a little bit confusing for Timothy. I mean, think about it. Paul would have to try to explain to Timothy, well, listen, I want you to get circumcised because we're going to be talking to Jews, and I want them to understand and to believe what I'm going to tell them. And Timothy says, well, what are you going to tell them? Well, I want to share with them an update from Jerusalem. You see, the apostles and the elders all decided that you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. And in verse 4, you know, it tells us, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders. If you remember, they sent a letter that says, abstain from food polluted by idols, abstain from sexual immorality, abstain from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. Other than that, you're not under the law, and you don't have to be circumcised. And Timothy's probably a little puzzled at this point. Okay, let me get this straight. So all the bigwigs in Jerusalem have decided that nobody has to be circumcised, and you want to share that wonderful news. And I'm sure there's plenty of adult men that are going to be very happy to hear this, But in order to share that news of circumcision, that it's not necessary, you're telling me that you want me to get circumcised. And Paul, you know, might have said, oh, good, I'm so glad you understand. But I don't think Timothy understood. You know, he probably knows what he's telling him to do, but not necessarily why. If I back up, and I'm sorry to the sound guys, but if I back up to the end of verse 3, he says he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. You see, Timothy didn't come from a total Jewish family. His mom was Jewish, and so he also took on the followed the Jewish customs and the laws and so forth. But his father was Greek, and people knew that. And so in order to avoid any kind of escape clause, as they if they were going into town and telling people, well, you don't have to be circumcised, well, the Jews would look at him and say, yeah, you're only saying that because your dad's a Greek. You know, Paul wants to take all of those kinds of arguments away. It's kind of like what I did at the beginning here. The idea that I don't want anybody to focus on the fact that I'm just wearing a t-shirt, you know, up here behind the pulpit. You know, that let's just kind of get that out of the way. He's trying to help make sure that Timothy would be able to be understood and be focused on, the message that they had would be focused on, instead of some sort of outside type of issue. And so we can understand perhaps Timothy's confusion, if in fact he was confused, but, you know, I was thinking, aren't we told to practice what we preach? You know, isn't Paul just going to confuse all those people that he's about to talk to if he tells them that you don't have to be circumcised, but they hear that he circumcised Timothy? Well, the thing is, this isn't really about Timothy. It's not about Timothy being right with God. He's right with God without the circumcision. It's not about his salvation, it's about his influence. It's about Timothy being able to love and to serve these people better. Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians as he talks about how he himself, he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And that's the whole point. We're trying to win as many people to Christ as possible. And so we take away, we do whatever it takes to win those people. He goes on to say, to the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. If I'm among people who observe the law, then for instance, I don't want to be eating food in front of them that's going to offend them. Then he goes on, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. If I'm among people who don't observe the laws of Moses, who know that they don't need to do those sorts of things, well then I'll eat all the ham sandwiches that I want, and I won't feel guilty about it. But if I'm sitting with a group of devout Jews, and I'm trying to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ while eating one of those ham sandwiches, they're not going to hear a word I'm saying. They're going to be staring at that ham sandwich and wondering, what in the world am I doing there anyway? And that's what Paul is asking of Timothy. He's saying, today, Timothy, we're going to be talking to Jews, and I want you to adapt to the culture so that they will hear our message. I want to remove all cultural stumbling blocks. I want you to love these people enough to be willing to get circumcised, even though you and I both know that you don't have to do it in order to be right with God. And obviously, Timothy was a trooper. He got circumcised. It doesn't say that Paul asked him to. It says in verse 3, so he circumcised him. It got done. And it was in order to be a more effective witness for Christ. There are things that we don't necessarily want to do. And this is where we get into the sermon title with the no's and the go's. There's a lot of things we don't necessarily want to do. For us, in our heart, it's a no that we want to hold on to. You know, we're not willing to make the change. We're not willing to get dirty. We're not willing to do what it takes to, in order to reach a certain group of people. I imagine Timothy hesitated at least a little bit, especially when he knew that this wasn't something that God required of him. He might have said, hey, I got a good idea. Why don't we say no to this group of people and find another group of people to minister to that don't care if I'm circumcised or not? I'll say go to that trip. How many people or how many churches today do that? Oh, those people are too dirty. Why don't we forget about ministering to them? Because I don't want to risk catching something. Let's find a group of suburban middle-class families that we can minister to. We can rake leaves or mow lawns. That'll be good. I'll say go to that ministry. But sometimes God wants us right there in the middle of dirty people. Maybe in the middle of addicted people. Certainly in the middle of lost and confused people. And if we're not comfortable, we're going to say no. But God's just going to keep right on saying go. Read the story of Jonah sometime. A few years back, Vicky and I had the opportunity to go over with Jason, go visit Jason over in Zambia. And I know right from the beginning, Vicky was gung-ho about it. She was ready to hop on that plane. And I have to admit that for some reason inside, my reaction was no. I've traveled internationally before. It wasn't about that. I had no problems with the plane trip. I don't really know what was holding me back, but for some reason, I was a little hesitant. My heart was just saying no. But when Paul talked about doing what it takes to connect with people, he said he was doing it so that by all possible means, I might save some. He did it for the sake of the gospel. And even though I was saying no, God kept saying go. And it was all for the sake of the gospel. So we went. We spent a week there reading Bible stories. Jason, just some quick background, Jason was running a drop-in center for street children. He would go out first thing, it was in Lusaka, the capital of Zambia. He'd go out first thing in the morning, go out into town and gather up street children and bring them back to the drop-in center where they would help them with learning. They would educate them, math and I forget what other subjects. They taught them life skills. One day was shower day, another day was laundry day. There were things that they would just learn about, like not sniffing glue and things like that. But it was a place where they were loved and they were taken care of. They would feed them and so forth. And we went over for a week of what they call it, Bible week, I think he called it. Like our VBS. The idea was that it was kind of a VBS week. And I would read the stories, read a Bible story. One of the older youth was a translator. He knew enough about both languages. He could be a translator. And all the kids would act out the story. Well, they loved it, like when they got to throw one of the kids in the lion's den, and we walked around the walls of Jericho and made them fall down and things like that. But it was a great time, and I really think they learned something from it, especially because when we when it was time to leave, some of the boys wrote us letters. They all, of course, hugged us and didn't want us to go. But of course, we had to come back. So they wrote us letters, and even the one in particular reminded me of why of just what my no. If I had stuck to no, what would it have kept from happening? Now somebody else would have been able to go and share and so forth, but it was great that God didn't listen to my no, and he kept telling me to go. It was a week I would never want to change. So how about you guys? Do you ever feel a nudge from God? Is there a nagging feeling that you're supposed to be maybe even just talking to someone? You might not have a nagging feeling that you need to go to Africa. We have some that go to Alaska and a couple that are going to Kentucky this year. And you have things, you know, that you do like that. But it doesn't have to be a trip far away like that. You've got a mission field right there in your neighborhood. Do you ever feel like you're supposed to be talking to somebody? Is there somebody in your neighborhood that maybe you do your very best to avoid? And then when you do, you can't help but question yourself about whether or not you were supposed to talk to them. Are you doing the right thing? Well, I'll tell you what, that's the Holy Spirit He's tapping on your shoulder and he's saying, I hear you saying no, but I'm telling you that I want you to go. And it turns out that it was what God wanted, because we see in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. So again, going back to seeing God's hand in this, Paul and Barnabas, God finds a way to separate them in a productive way. And we see now Paul and Timothy and Silas strengthening the faith of these people, and the churches grew daily in numbers. Okay, so sometimes we say no, but God is saying go. But we also know that the opposite can be true as well. We might get all pumped up, ready to go on a mission trip or jump into some kind of ministry, and God says no. Let's take a look at the rest of our story here, starting in verse 6. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word. Who would have ever thought? Why in the world would the Holy Spirit not want the word preached? Let's keep reading. It says in verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. What's this all about? You know, I mean, it kind of sounds like if any of you had a big brother who would do what he can to just have some fun bullying you. You know, you want to go into the living room and from one entrance, and he's standing there blocking you. Okay, well, I'll just go around through the kitchen. You get over to the other side, and he's there waiting on you to block you again, you know? What's going on here? Preaching's good, isn't it? Paul's a good guy, isn't he? So, I mean, preaching from Paul seems like that would be good. So why in the world would God be saying no? And keep in mind that we can pull up a map on our laptops or on our phones, and we can move from Phrygia to Galatia to Mysia to Bithynia, and it doesn't seem very far. Or we could fly over there, hop in a car, and it probably wouldn't take very long to cover all of that area. But remember that Paul and his companions are probably walking this journey. They walk a long time only to get the door slammed in their faces. And they start off for another region, and when they get there, that door is slammed again. So these guys are probably saying, look, we're ready to go. But God keeps saying no. And this shows us that while it's okay for us to have plans and to have a vision, we have to always submit those plans to the will of God. And we need to be open to the possibility that he might just veto our plans. But Paul was constantly paying attention to God's will. So one night, he has a vision. Verses 8 and 9 say, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Macedonia would have been much farther west than the area that they were in. They were trying to go north, trying to go south. They wanted to go back into the region they had been in before. Macedonia was way off to the west. But they take off immediately. Verse 10 tells us, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once. Notice how the tense changed. It, like, it had been in third person, but now all of a sudden, we got ready, which tells us that Luke was there with them. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so now this is the first time that the gospel makes its way into Europe. They've been in Asia Minor. That area has been covered and it's going to be covered. But now God is moving Paul and Timothy over into Europe and exposing Europe to the gospel. It would be great if we could recognize God's will right away and very clearly. I always say, I wish he would just email me when I have these tough decisions sometimes and trying to figure out what he wants me to do. If he would just email me, it would be fine. Now, maybe I'm showing my age. Maybe I should say, I wish he'd send an alert to my smartphone, you know. If I could just get a ding and I look at my phone and there's something from God telling me exactly what he wants me to do. But it's just not always that clear. And sometimes, though, it's because we're not paying close enough attention. Paul had plans. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to go back to Asia Minor. He wanted to check on the churches there. But that wasn't working out. So after this brief period of uncertainty, Paul was guided by God to Macedonia. And just like Paul, we can trust God to guide us also, if we honestly and earnestly seek his will. Paul was a visionary. He planned ahead. He developed strategies for reaching the lost and taking the gospel to the four corners of the world. We read in Romans, he had a plan. He refers to some of his plans, which included visiting Rome. He says, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. He's making a plan. He's making an agenda. So after I have completed the task he was talking about and have made sure that they have received the contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. He's got plans. But he also lived in submission to God's will. That's why he also writes one verse later, pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. Paul knew that a no from the Lord about Asia meant it was part of a greater go that would be revealed later. I'm going to invite the band to come up now. They're going to lead us in a final song. But as they come up, I just want you to think about something. If you have found yourself being frustrated lately, feeling like maybe you've got a wonderful plan, you've got some great way that you think, something that you think would be very helpful to people, something maybe you think about it as a ministry, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't recognize that it's a ministry, but it is. But just a way that you can connect with people and help them and to share God's love with them. And yet you find all your plans seem to just keep falling apart. Well, I want you to keep in mind that those plans might not be falling apart. They might just be falling into place for a go from God a little later. Keep in touch with God. Stay in communication with him all the time. Be very open to his leading. And be very willing to take the no's with the goes.
Do you want people to stand?
Yeah.
You guys, please stand. Hopefully my strap doesn't break this time.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in.
Trust in you alone. Trust in.
And so I encourage you to roll up your sleeves, put on the boots if you have to, but follow him wherever he takes you. And as you follow him, may he guide you and protect you, and may his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Life I